you don't. Daniel was in a snowboarding accident when he was just about 16 years old, and in doing so, he had developed a very bad infection in his leg. The only problem was that the infection put him bedridden, and it allowed him, made him stay basically cooped up in his house for basically months on end. He began to spend his time playing video games, and spent a lot of time playing video games, sometimes upwards to 16 to 18 hours a day playing video games. One of the rules that was in Daniel's house, his father being a minister, was that there was no allowance of violent video games. But Daniel proceeded to still play violent video games. One game that he particularly loved was called Halo. Halo 3 was what he wanted. And he snuck out of the house, got Halo, and then was playing it one day when his parents found out that he had the game. They took it away. He found it, took it back, put it back in his room, and again continued to play and play and play. Finally, again, his father found the game, hid it again. This time, his son, Daniel, found the game again, but he also found his father's handgun. And one day, when they were both asleep on the couch, his mom and dad, Daniel took the handgun and shot his dad in the head and shot his mom multiple times over a video game. That story that I just told you about, Daniel received a sentence, not a life sentence. He was only 16 years old. He couldn't receive a death sentence because it wasn't allowed for minors. But he received 23 years in prison for such, and he's still in prison to this day. That story happens more than you might think. Not that you actually see people killing people, but just not too long ago, about 1 year ago, an 11-year-old went out to his father's state trooper's car and was able to unlock the car, found his service pistol, and shot his father once. A man in Australia stabbed his father to death because they had taken away his video games. These things happen a lot in America, maybe not to these extremes, but no doubt there's fighting. And all of it comes about with this thing in which we have invented called technology. If you were to walk into your daughter's bedroom tomorrow morning and discover that she wasn't there, and to discover there had been forcible entry into her room and that she was gone, you would immediately get on the phone with police and start searching for her. If by chance and by the grace of God you were able to find her and get her back, then you would do everything within your power to not allow that ever to happen again. You would put in security surveillance equipment. You would put in a security system. You may even put bars on the windows. But what if I told you that such a monster has already entered into all of our homes? It's already there. But I'll tell you this, they haven't stolen away the bodies of your spouse or your children, but they have stolen away our minds and our hearts. And that is this thing of technology. My fear today is that all of us will agree with probably 80 to 90% of what I say today. I never think that anybody will swallow fully 100% of everything that I say. But I think that all of us will perhaps agree with 80 to 90% of what I have to say in this message. The only thing that I fear is that we will then leave and do nothing about it. You might walk away and say, well, that's just the age we live in. We live in a technology age. What if one of Paul's churches was like that? Oh yeah, there was. It was called the Church of Corinth. And they ended up being the most fleshly, carnal, backslidden church that Paul had to deal with. We cannot just say, well, that's the age we live in. We must learn to do something about it. Some of us might think that this monster called technology that's on every computer, laptop, phone, and tablet is just too powerful to tame. It's too big for us to conquer. And so in doing so, we feel helpless, and in feeling helpless, we do nothing. And I think that's a very big error on our part. And sometimes we'll even justify the use of technology because of all the good things that technology has brought us. I've learned a new word this year. You know what that word is? It's a four-letter word. It's called Zoom. I didn't even know what Zoom was. I had no idea what Zoom was. I'm like, Pastor, we're going to do Zoom. Zoom where? What are we Zooming to? You know, where are we going? I don't know what Zoom is. What is Zoom? I've learned Zoom. I've learned live stream. As a result of that, we broadcast every single service now, and it's probably something that we'll continue to do after COVID is also done. I've learned a lot of different things. Our sermons go around the world. Up to this point, I think we're up to probably 40 to 50 countries that our sermons have been broadcasted in. Sermons that have been broadcasted in Saudi Arabia, UAE, all over the world, in places where missionaries are not allowed to go, our sermons are getting there. Mm-hmm. I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth the $40 or $50 a month that we spend to put that out there. The word of God can't get out there. But we cannot sit idly by and say, well, technology has been so good, when we know in our hearts that it's wrecked so many lives. We all love FaceTime when we're talking to grandparents or parents, and we all love our email. But when I heard this shattering statistic that pornography is the fuel that has propelled the internet worldwide, then I had to ask myself, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? Luke read those verses in Ephesians 5, and man, if there's not a better set of verses that speaks to technology than those verses right there, I don't know what is. Those verses are profound in considering technology and the internet. If you just look at a couple of them, like verses 3 and 4, where it speaks of fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Think about that. Is not the internet full of those three things? Fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. It's full of filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. It's full of these things. It even says in verse number 7, it says, be not partakers with them. Don't do these things. He even says in verse number 12, he says, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We would be ashamed to talk about all the atrocities that are on the internet today. We couldn't do that. It would be wrong for the pastor to do that. It would be wrong for a preacher to talk about the things that are on there. It's just too wicked. It's so wicked and ungodly, the things that happen there. But the verses I want us to focus on this morning are found in verses number 15, 16, and really in 17, but definitely 15 and 16. It's the words, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The meaning here is very simple. You need to look where you're going. You need to look where you're going. Some people say, well, I'll just turn it off. I'll just turn it off, Pastor. That's what I'll do. There's a little thing I found on my phone this week. You go into the settings, go into general, go down there to screen time, then start to see how much screen time you spent on your phone. And then see where it was at. It probably was not all on the Bible reading app, all right? All right? Let's just be honest with ourselves. Find it. Find what it is. It would be scary. What if you were to chart every single bit of screen time that you had this week, and not just with your phone, but also with your TV? Any type of screen time, and I know that many of you work from home. That's not what I'm talking about. All right? My children watch the screen big part of the day for their homeschooling. But they don't really want to watch that screen too much. And when they're done with that screen, they're saying, let's get out of here. We're done with this screen. We don't like this screen. We know what kind of screen time I'm talking about. It's very obvious. That leisure time, that time we spent looking at things, looking at maybe just shopping, looking at other things, looking at maybe good things, looking at bad things. But the world around us is ensnared and is captured by technology. And as we as Christians, we're lying to ourselves if we don't say that it has in some ways captured us. But the internet has been compared to a knife. It's been compared to a knife. A knife in the hand of a serial killer is a very dangerous thing. But a knife in the hand of a surgeon can be a very helpful thing. And so is the internet. In fact, I just recently finished a whole course, a college course on the internet through YouTube, completely free. I enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it. I was very helped by it, and I've already been able to use it to help others. It can be a helpful thing. We receive emails. We receive all kinds of things. I already mentioned that. But here's the thing. It's obviously also a very dangerous thing. If there's one obvious fact about the internet and technology is this, is that it has given to us a greater perspective that the Bible is exactly true and is exactly right when it talks about people. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one. If there's one aspect that if I could prove to anybody that the depravity, wickedness, filthiness, and ungodliness of people is that all I've got to do is take you to the internet. It proves it. It proves it so very well. The most wildest, sensual, wicked, deviant, and immoral lust can be found lurking on the screens of our phones and computers and TVs and laptops. Lutzer in his book, and I'll say this with this quote here, not necessarily a quote, but some things that I got from Erwin Lutzer's book. He was the pastor of Moody Bible Church. Is that, understand this, that I am not the first to be saying this. Okay? In fact, I'm probably behind the times on what I'm saying. What I'm saying here to you today is probably late in the ballgame. There are many pastors out there that are decrying the use of technology. Neil Postman states that to be unaware that a technology comes equipped with a program for social change to maintain that technology is neutral. Listen to this. To maintain, I think this is so powerful, to maintain that technology is neutral is the assumption that technology is a friend to our culture. He says, such thinking is pure, and this is his words, stupidity. To think that technology is neutral is plain stupidity. It's not neutral, it has a bias, and it's not a friend to culture. Lutzer also states that it's not just neutral, but it's also that we get this false opinion that what we watch does not affect us. You know, that's a lie that's been shoved down our throats since the 60s, really, since TV came about. That's really a lie that's been promoted and promulgated by many false teachers and many false people that are out there. They're really the people that are promoting that are the broadcasters. Yeah, you know why? Because they want you to keep watching their stuff, right? If the broadcasters actually were able to put out there what we're promoting to you affects your daily life and your marriage and will hurt your marriage and will hurt your children and may potentially cause violence in your life, then you know what? People would say, wait a second, why are we watching this stuff? No, they're not going to say that to you. What we watch affects us. No one can deny that David watching Bathsheba bathe was what led him to physical adultery with her. Again, I say that we can always turn it off, but the problem with that is a lie, because oftentimes people cannot turn it off. We just cannot put the phone down. Alicia, and I won't try to pronounce her last name, it's a hard name to pronounce, because of how Squiz, I think is how you say it, couldn't put her internet chat room down. She explained years later that after the FBI had found her nearly at the point of death when she was 13 years old, she was lured away by an internet predator. He told me everything I wanted to hear, these are her exact words, and what I thought I needed to hear. He became my best friend. And after 8 months, she couldn't stop, of chatting, she decided to meet up with her best friend, who was a 38-year-old man, who mercilessly had his way with her. 4 days later, she was found and rescued by the FBI through a tip. She was one of the lucky ones. Some people say, I'll just turn it off. The sad and seemingly rare story that I just read to you happens, but what more frequently happens to people is that you hear of spouses leaving because they found somebody online. You find teenagers that are completely entangled in pornography. You find people's reputations that are destroyed by slander because of Facebook and other internet outlets. Paul Chappell, in his little booklet, presents to us one lie of technology is this, is that people get involved in the sins of technology because they feel that what they are doing is private. Nobody sees me. But friend, may I remind you that the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. God knows exactly what you're looking at on the internet. He knows what you're seeing. And may I also remind you that not only does he know, but the NSA knows. Okay? The cyber world knows. Google knows. Why is it that the moment that you look up something on your phone, have you ever even had this experiment? Have you ever even said something out loud and not have ever typed it on your phone, but then all of a sudden a thing for that comes up on your phone? That happens. Why? Because that phone is listening to you. It's listening right now. I've got it over here. My phone is hearing me. If I just start to say Siri, you know, I think it's on silent, so I don't think it's going to talk to me right now. That phone is listening. I'll tell you this, though, my friend, is that something more omnipresent than your phone is God. And something to be more afraid of than the FBI or the NSA is God. Be afraid of him. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The living God. We must learn these verses in Ephesians 5, 15, and 16 that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. We are living in evil days, and technology is a solid proof of that. I want to offer to you just four perspectives on the pitfalls of technology. Write these down, all right? They're very simple, and we won't take a lot of time to go through them. It's very easy to understand. The first word I want you to write down is beware. That's what it means in verse number 15 when he says, see then. That's all it means. It means beware. Be watchful. Be careful. Look out. Be alert. Circumspectly means be suspicious. I'm not saying that you be a conspiracy theorist about the internet, but I think we ought to all be a little borderline. Does that make sense? We all ought to be at least a little borderline conspiracy theorists about the internet because it is there to serve a bias. Beware of this. Beware, be alert to this very fact that pornography is everywhere. It is just simply two clicks away at sometimes. Maybe just even one. Be watchful, be careful. Know where it is. Know and understand where it is at, and do not even go there. Don't even scroll down to the bottom of the page if you know it's there. Don't go there. Stay away from that. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, consent thou not. Don't listen to it. Don't go there. Stay away from there. There was the foolish man in Proverbs chapter number 7. He said, I saw the foolish man. And he said he went by the way of the adulterous woman's house. He knew where she was at and he went anyhow. Like a bird there going straight to its death. Like an animal going to this trap. He knew where he was going and yet he still went. You cannot fool yourself into thinking, you know what? I'll just kind of peruse on by these lustful things. You can't do that. You cannot do that. YouTube is filled with lustful pictures, foul language, gossip, and slander. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all of them have pornographic material. They promote slander and gossip. They are there to facilitate lust, greed, covetousness, hate, and false teaching. Internet gambling is stealing millions and perhaps billions of dollars from hardworking families all across the world. Stealing it. That's what gambling is. And then you've got the whole gaming side of the internet that consumes people for up to for hours and hours upon end. You have the violence side of gaming that people are viewing fake deaths by the thousands. You have the demonic side of gaming that is exploring witchcraft and demonic things and seeing wicked images and devilish things. The one man that I mentioned to you in Australia that killed his dad with a butcher with a hunting knife at 22 years old was playing the video games up to 20 plus hours a day. You have ISIS that's posting people actually killing people and cutting their heads off. And then you have the media promoting every false bias narrative that they can. Lies, lies, lies. And the internet is full of lies. It's full of it. You go to any news media website. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you label it conservative or liberal. I don't care. They're all not going to tell you the truth.
That's right.
They're going to hold back things and not say other things. Because they're trying to appeal to you is what they're trying to do. They're not there to tell you the truth. There's only one person that's here to tell you the truth. And it's not even, you say, is it you? Yes, it's me. But I want to tell you this. There's only one true source of truth. And it's this.
That's right.
The Word of God. And I rely completely upon it because this is the full sufficiency is found in the words of the living God. See then that you walk circumspectly. And then, on top of all of that, the internet is a playground for false teaching and false preaching. I remember about 4, 5, 6 years ago, we had probably 4 or 5 families, maybe 6, 8, 10 people that started coming into the church and they were coming in here because of a false teach from a teacher that was teaching some wrong and some error ways. And they were brought in because of that, and they were trying to talk through some things with me about those things, and I was trying to show them from God's word. What's sad is that many of those people are not even going to church today. But beyond that, you've got people out there that are getting sucked in to false teaching, errant teaching, not just false teaching that is hurtful, but I'm talking false teaching that is leading people to hell. Mm-hmm. Ungodly, wicked teaching. And man, I read, and sometimes every once in a while I'll read a blog or something about a particular person or a critique on something or whatever, maybe a book or a church or something like that. And as I read that, are you spiritual enough to see the pride dripping off of those blog posts sometimes? I mean, they're just dripping with pride. Wicked pride. And then you think of all the email scams that people get involved with. I'm just saying, beware. And then how many people, let's just be real practical, how many people die texting and driving?
Yep, big time.
That happens. All the time. That's technology. Technology is a killer. It's killing people, literally killing people. You know, you probably remember about a couple of years ago, I think it was, 14 people from another church, I think it was in New Braunfels, were killed when they were out on an alley outing. And they were hit by a large, I believe, Dodge 2500 dually. And it was determined that the young man did not die, but he killed all the people that were in that. Were in there. He was determined that he was texting and driving. He killed 14 people. Folks, it's not worth it. I'm just telling you, it's not worth it. I've set my phone up, and I'm driving at this time. I cannot speak to you right now. I'm driving at this time. It's not worth it. Walk circumspectly. Technology is a ticking time bomb in our hands if we do not treat it with some vigilance. Number two, not only would I say beware, but secondly, be wise. Be wise. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Truly, when we look at the Bible, we can obviously see the current scene around us. We should look at our scriptures and we should see current events that are happening all around us. And we ought to be looking at this and say, you know, I read this and I'm just thinking to myself, man, this is technology. This whole entire passage that Luke read, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Man, that's a wise thing to do. If you're on a particular website, you should prove that website. Say, you know what, is this acceptable for me to be on this thing? Should I even be perusing around? I mean, I might grab a couple little tidbits that might be helpful, but should I even be here? Should I? Really? You ought to be thinking about those things. We should not be afraid to look at the scriptures and apply them to our daily lives. I had to stop putting in the sermon illustrations, but I could literally have filled up pages and pages full of stories where people have been hurt dramatically through their marriage, their children, through life and death by the technology that is around us. Don't become a statistic. Be wise. Be wise. As I said, don't swallow everything that is there that they're going to feed you. I certainly hope that you do not do that. Don't be like the unwise people of the world who just listen to everything without a full understanding. Be wise. They are not telling you all the truth. Be wise. Don't just think if I just click on a porn site once, it won't harm me. Listen, sin always takes you further than you want to go. In Luther's book, another time he went to go witness to a man that called on him from jail. He was a pretty successful man and he had been arrested for child pornography. And he's told Luther, he said, I never meant it to go this far. Listen, my friend, nobody ever means for sin to go that far. Whatever it is, nobody ever means for it that far. Here's the thing, you can control your actions, but you cannot control the outcomes of your actions. You can control your actions, but you cannot control the consequences to your actions. You have no control over that. Remember that and put that in your brain and be wise. Be wise about what you post on social media. Understand you are a Christian. And what you post on social media will not just be what you post on social media, but it will also be what you are posting so that everybody can see on full display that you are a Christian, but you're also living in this particular way. You're doing this particular thing. You're going to these particular establishments. Well, I didn't get drunk, or I didn't do anything wrong, or I wasn't doing anything bad. Listen, the Bible says abstain from all appearances of evil. Abstain from it. Get away from it. Be wise about what you post. Before you hit the post button, understand what you're about to put on there. Read through it again. Ask yourself, is that edifying? Is that godly? Be wise. Beware. Thirdly, be redeemed. Be redeemed. Oh, man. I had to stop here and evaluate a little while for myself. Be redeemed. He says in Ephesians 5, in verse number 16, he says, redeeming the time. The word redeeming there means to rescue. It means to buy it back, to get it back. You say, I didn't think we could really buy back time. No, you can't, but it's a wordplay here to rescue the time that's still available. It's not that you can go back in time and get more time. That's not the idea. It's not like you can go back in time and buy that time back and say, you know, I was like when I was a teenager, I remember doing something wrong. And I was back in the day when you had the VCRs and you had the rewind button and it would go, you know what I mean? And I remember I did something wrong at school and I remember exactly what it was. It was, I had cheated on a test and I can remember being found out about it. And I thought to myself, man, if life were like a VHS tape and I could just hit rewind, you know what I mean? And just go, and I could change my course of action and I would do it right now if I could. Here's the thing. Redeeming the time is not being able to go back and hit the rewind button, get back the time. The idea is rescuing the time that you have left. Don't waste the time that you have left. And if anybody of us, all of us, every single one of us can testify to the very fact that we've wasted time on the technology that is around us today. We've wasted time on TV. We've wasted time on the internet. We've wasted time on our computers. I'm not talking about working from those. Many of you work from your computer. I understand that. But there's a big difference. Big difference. I spent a lot of screen time typing sermons out. All right? I spent a lot of screen time typing in front of that computer screen. But that's different than you know what I'm talking about when you're looking at it, spending leisurely time, wasting time on the technology that is around us. How many hours did you spend this week? Did you spend 1 hour? If you spend only 1 hour, you're doing really good. I said, let me rephrase it. If you spend only 1 hour a day, you're like way above average and how well you're doing. 2 hours? 3? 6? 10? The phone is a huge time waster. YouTube is a time waster. TV is a time waster. Now listen, like I said, I'm speaking to myself. We all need to redeem the time. We need to buy up and rescue some time that's been lost. When we're spending that time, think about it like this. You're losing time doing other things. You're losing time with family. You're losing time with family. You're losing time that you could be spent doing other work. I feel like we should make a public broadcast announcement, you know. Put down your phones. From this hour to this hour, every single day. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to defeat this thing? What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make some agreements in your home. And you're going to have to say, you know what, we're putting down the technology during this time. We're just putting it down. We're not going to mess with it. I would applaud you if some of you just put down the phones and everything during dinner time. And just say, no, that has no part of dinner time right there. Dinner time is about family. Not about that phone. It's about us. And parents, you are the one that are going to have to be the one that's responsible to do it. You're the one. You're the one that's going to have to set limits. You're the one that's going to have to set up times and set up rules. You're going to have to be the first one that puts the phone down. Okay? Amen? You're going to have to be the one that does it first. Rescue some time back. You and I have all lost time with technology. It's time that we rescue some of that time back before it's eternally too late. Put it down. The devil wants to steal away your time from your children and your spouse. He wants you and your spouse to be on your phone or your computer or tablet in bed together and on those things. And then whenever the lights go out, the phones go off, and then you turn to opposite sides of the bed and you go to sleep. He doesn't want you to talk. He doesn't want you to have time, meaningful time together. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to stay apart from each other and not talk to each other. Not talk about your kids and not talk about any of those things. We used to say this phone, this expression, stop burying your head in the sand. But that's an old, that's an archaic saying. We need to stop, we need to start saying, stop burying your head in the phone. Right? Get your head out of your phone. We all need to get our heads out of our phones. It's time that we stop saying that technology is neutral, but rather understand that it is something that many times we become intertwined and entangled with, and we become ensnared in. And we need to rescue some time. And then finally, I'll say this, be righteous. Beware, be wise, be redeeming, be righteous. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number, because it says here, as the Bible says, redeeming the time, because why? Because the days are evil. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy 3:1. I want you to be equipped. I want you to leave here and not just say, I agree with you. Pastor's right. I spend too much time on my phone. And then just walk out of here and do nothing about it. Be equipped. Come up with a plan. Do something about it. Look here at 2 Timothy 3. The days are evil, he says. Well, look at the testimony to that in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Wow. Man, that's called Facebook. Amen. That's called Instagram. Right? That's what that's called. Posting pictures of yourself all day long. You know? You're a lover of yourself, okay? I don't mean to be mean, but you are. You want to keep posting pictures of yourself all day long. Covetous. And you just sit there and look at Marketplace or Craigslist or whatever. You just sit there because you're covetous. You got to buy something. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying thereof, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Did you see that? We need to turn away. Turn away from these things. A friend of mine said for years that computers will be the downfall of this nation, and I think I'm starting to agree. We ought to borderline on conspiracy theories and understand that the internet is not all good. We are called in Matthew chapter number 5 to be salt and light. But the more we pollute ourselves with the filth that is in the technology that surrounds us, the more we dilute our saltiness. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men." The question here could be asked, what good is a Christian testimony that doesn't have any Christian virtue attached to it? What good is your gospel witness if it has no gospelness to it, if you want to say it like that? What good is our Christianity if it has no Christianity to it? And so as I close today, in this last point of being righteous, maybe you could write down a couple of just practical ways in which we could just abstain from the pitfalls of technology. This first point was written years ago. I think it's kind of lost its value a little bit, but it is simple. Keep your computers public. Now the thing is that we just don't have a laptop or we don't have a desktop sitting in our house all the time anymore, do we? I'm just curious, how many of you still have a desktop computer? Doug? All right, I knew Doug would raise his hand. All right, so anybody else still have a desktop computer? Yeah. The desktop is going away. Unless you're work or you're in business in the sense that you gotta watch some screens and things like that. I'd say this, keep all your technology public. I would not let your children have full access to the internet. Bad things are going to come into that room if you do.
That's right.
You cannot stop it. It will come in. The devil will come in there. The devil is the king of the internet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Jesus is the king of the world, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the prince and the power of the air. And where does the internet travel? Wi-Fi. In the air. It's traveling all around us. I know that might seem an odd thing to look at it in that way. But I don't think I'm wrong in saying that he is in complete control of what's happening on the internet. He's there. And don't you think that my teenager or this, they cannot handle it. They cannot. And do not think that you're not susceptible to sin either. Use the internet in full view of others. I would purchase filtering systems. Put them on your phones. You say, that costs money.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. How much is purity worth to you? How much is purity worth? How much is that worth? How much is it worth to not have your 13-year-old daughter taken out of her bedroom? How much is that worth? It's worth a lot. Be accountable. Some of you are going to buck me here because I'm telling you, I said you don't really agree about 80-90%, and this is where I think some of us are going to steer away from it. You're not going to like it. Be accountable. Let your phone be fully accessible to your spouse and to your parents. There should be no reason, absolutely no reason, why Karis cannot look at that phone and look through every text message, phone call, and email that I get. There's no reason. She should be able to look at every single website that I've looked at. Every single one of them. And your spouse ought to be able to do the same thing.
Good.
And your parents ought to be able to do the same thing. And if your kids give you bunk on that, they say, well, you're invading my privacy, invading my space, and you don't trust me. You know what you tell them? You say, you're exactly right. I don't trust you. Because I don't trust myself. And if I don't trust myself, I'm not going to trust you with it. If there's nothing wrong on there, then why would we have any problem letting them see any of that? Why would we have any problem with that? Well, I gotta maintain my privacy. Listen, buddy, when you got married, you gave up your privacy rights. Okay? You gave those up. Because the Bible says that the two shall become one flesh. Alright? That's called one flesh. You're not an individual anymore. You're one flesh. You're one person. Delete emails and text messages you don't know. I'm amazed. Karis and I got a very provocative, at the exact same time, text messages from somebody. Very, very ungodly text message at the exact same time. Didn't even just swipe over, delete. Very simple to do. Just swipe, delete. That's all you do. For you that are not, you know, technologically savvy. All right. Swipe, delete. Okay. Very simple. I would be careful with how you surf the internet. When you start surfing the internet, you'll run into more problems, into more things, and more temptations. Be specific with where you're going. Go and get it done and get off of the internet. If you don't, then not only will you be tempted to look at things that you shouldn't, but you'll also be able to waste lots more time. And you won't be redeeming the time like he tells us to. And then I would say, teach and train your family on the dangers of internet usage. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train and instill in your children the warnings of the internet. Then I'd be curious to know, maybe at the end here, what are some other ways? Maybe I've missed some ways. Maybe you could think of some ways and share those with me. I'd like to know. How could we protect ourselves from the dangers and the pitfalls? Listen, as I close here today, let me say this. You can do all the steps that I've told you to do. You can beware, be wise, be redeeming, and be righteous. You can filter all the sights, and you can filter every single thing. But can I tell you this, is that you can put all the filters that you want on the internet, but if you're not putting a filter here, you're still going to have problems. Because everything that's on technology and in the internet has nothing to do with the internet or technology.
Right.
Now, I might have just seen that I totally debunked my whole message. But I did not. All I've been sharing with you this whole entire time are outward signs of what is wrong. I've been showing you outward signs of an inward reality. I alluded to that at the very beginning of the message. What does the internet show us? It shows to us the inherent deceitfulness and deception and depravity of sin. And sin is not the internet. Sin comes from the heart. It comes out of the heart. That was Jesus' whole entire argument to the Pharisees when they were worried about washing cups and bowls and hands and everything. He said, you guys are all worried about cleaning up the outside. And man, you can filter the outside. You can do whatever you want to with the internet. You can put up all the safeguards. But if you're still having a heart issue, now I'm telling you right now, my friend, then eventually it's going to come out somehow or another. Maybe not in the form of the internet, maybe somewhere else. And if you're unsaved here today, you have no victory, you have no chance. Listen, you have no chance to stand against Satan because you are one of his children. Understand this, my friend, that God has given to you the wonderful gift of his son, Jesus Christ. He has given him over to you so that he could forgive us and give us free pardon of all our sins and unrighteousness. And he could truly change us if we will simply believe and repent of our sins and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of our lives. Repent and believe. See what you're doing is wrong and ask God to forgive you. Daniel Petrick's problem was not that he had obsessive compulsive disorder with his video games. Daniel Petrick's problem was not that he went into a schizophrenic coma and then killed his parents. Daniel's problem was not the fact that he was a passive aggressive. He was passive as long as he was playing his video games, but he was aggressive as soon as he was taken away. That was not Daniel's problem. The psychiatrist will even tell you this, that Daniel's problem was not Halo 3. But he'll tell you that all of those were his problems. But God says those were not Daniel's problems. Daniel's issue was a heart issue. It's the same issue that all of us face on a daily basis. As we walk around in this world, our issues are not mind issues. It's not the fact that we were raised in a wrong home, or we had this bad experience happen to us, or we had these bad things happen to us, or that we've got this particular clinical issue. The thing is this, is that all of us were born sinners. And all of us have chosen to do wrong things. And all of us have been affected negatively by the effects of sin in our life. That is all of us. All of us. And our problems, when they're boiled down to the nitty-gritty, boils back down to the fact of this. That we've sinned against an almighty God. And our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
That's right.
Can I give you the answer? God knows it. God knows your heart. Neither is there anything that is not open before him. But everything is naked, as he says there. What a picturesque word. It's open completely before God. He sees everything. He knows your heart. Christian, he knows your heart. And he's asking you and me, and he's telling us today, listen, redeem the time because the days are evil. Repent. Have you fallen into some of the pitfalls of technology? Repent. That's the message to the believer. It's repent. It's not, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. That's regret. It's not sorrowful in the sense of it's remorse. No, it's repentance. It's feeling bad, yes, but then making steps to change the action and the courses in which you're going in. A shipman, a mariner, when he realizes that they're sailing the wrong way, they got it off course because of a storm. And how many of us can confess we all have storms in our life? Trials, temptations, struggles. Some of us have bigger storms than others. But when the mariner gets pushed off course because of a storm, whenever he realizes it that he has been pushed off course, he doesn't just keep sailing because he's got a destination. And he says, I'm not supposed to go to New York City. I'm supposed to be in Miami. And he says, I can't keep going in the direction I'm going. I must push back and turn around and go in the way that I need to go. You know what that's called? Repentance. And if you're a child of God here today and you've fallen into some of the pitfalls of technology, don't keep sailing to New York City. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't keep going in the direction you're going just because a storm has blown you off course. Repent. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge His Word. Find your bearings in the Word of God and get put back on course. Sinner, can I tell you this? You just haven't been put off course. You're going the exact opposite direction. And your life is heading for destruction. You're on the Titanic and you're about to sink. You're heading straight for an iceberg, and life is going to be over for you. Your duty today is not to change your actions like a Christian. I'll just be a better person. No, that's not going to work. You need something more. You need the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I don't care if you've been sitting in this church for 10 years. You need the Lord to save you. You need Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of you. You need to acknowledge that, confess that you're a sinner, and cry out to God, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. God, have mercy upon me, for I am a sinner. And acknowledge that Christ died for your sins, and that He rose again the third day. And He loves you. And He wants nothing more than to save you today. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody?